good morning, everybody. Well, batten down the hatches. The mighty tropical storm Faye. Woo, what a scary name, Faye. Faye is coming your way. Going to have lots of rain and lots of wind, and Natalie's very excited. Natalie loves a big old storm. Natalie, you must have been knocked out by Hurricane Sandy. You must have just loved every minute of that. Every time there's a storm coming, Natalie's like, there's a storm coming.
That's not true. No, I don't love a good storm. I like being prepared for a storm. So I don't think people should take storms lightly, which a lot of people were doing before Sandy. And I remember Joe Bartlett. Joe Bartlett was one of them, like, it's not going to be that bad. Bah, 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 bah. Meanwhile, we're walking down the street sideways trying to get to work in the morning. And I'm like, yeah, not so bad. Right, Joe?
See, that wasn't that bad.
No, this is the point. This is the point where Natalie's kids, Noelle and Sammy, put their fingers in their ears and go, blah, 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 blah.
You know what? Unfortunately, for the past 20-something years, the entire life of my children, I've never been home for a big storm. I've always been at work. So, I worry. So I make sure the house is prepared before I leave and make sure they have everything they need. Obviously, my husband is home, but, you know. So I just like being prepared.
So, okay, that's what she's a Boy Scout. That's her motto.
Nice, a good Michael, Girl Scout.
Michael, what's nice about you is nothing affects you. You know, you have your little tiny little life there in the West Village.
Right.
Everything is always in order, and there's never a problem.
I know, because I'll just take a nap after the show, and the storm will pass, and I'll wake up, and it'll be sunny, and I'll go for a run and have a cocktail, and that'll be a great
but
day.
Think about it. Do you have to edit your book today? If you do, how about it happens if your power goes out and you don't have any internet? I mean, there's things you have to prepare for.
Oh, my God, Natalie, you're putting too much pressure on you. You think it could all go, right, I could walk outside my house and an earthquake could happen and the earth would open
it
up
could.
And I'll be swallowed up.
You should be prepared for that.
I should be prepared. All right, also in the Big Three, some interesting Supreme Court rulings yesterday. Now, they say the president, and all the justices said this, even the conservative ones he appointed, the president is not above the law. He can't shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and get away with it. And therefore, Cy Vance, the district attorney here, has every right to subpoena Trump's tax records. Now, this does not mean we're going to see the ins and outs of the Trump finances before the election. The Supreme Court has kind of kicked the thing back down to the lower courts, and Trump can fight these subpoenas and tie it up for a long time to come. But it's kind of a rebuke, not just to Trump, but to the whole office of the presidency, that maybe it's gotten a little too powerful over the years. And I think Democrats and Republicans are both guilty of grabbing a little bit too much power for the chief executive. And another interesting Supreme Court ruling, too, which we haven't gotten into yet, but we should probably play around with this one. Did you see this ruling, Joe, that Native Americans own most of Oklahoma?
Yes.
Did you see the ruling? What does that mean? Casinos being built everywhere?
Someone's going to have to give it back to them or pay them off, I think.
I guess they're going to pay, because you can't, uproot people, right, who've been living in parts of Oklahoma if the Native Americans want it back. Complicated situation.
No, I would think not, but and I'm sure there's a lot of oil there that the Indians are going to be entitled to. I'm sorry, Native Americans.
What about Manhattan? Is Manhattan next?
Yeah,
that's right. I mean, we bought it for beads.
We did. We bought it for like $6.
Beads.
Yeah.
That's right.
Got to give back the Upper West Side.
Pitch a teepee in my West Village apartment here. And rounding out the Big Three, Ghislaine Maxwell. She's due to appear in court next week. They've taken her sheets and clothes away. Now, that doesn't mean she's naked. It means she's wearing one of those paper smocks that you wear when you have a colonoscopy. And apparently, Noam, she's got a roommate in the cell to make sure she doesn't off herself.
Well, that's what we think anyway, because, normally you would put somebody like that so high profile alone because you'd be afraid somebody would want to off them. It's like a trophy. But apparently, no.
Yeah,
with her, they've put a woman in the cell with her maybe to keep her safe.
Interesting. I hope it's not Hillary Clinton, because she won't last very long. All right, let's check in with ABC News political director and co-host of Powerhouse Politics Podcast, Rick Klein in Washington. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, great to be with you.
Hey, Rick, do you put any stock in this report? I forget where I saw it, but it says that some Democrats are suggesting Joe Biden should hold out on debates and only agree to debate Trump if Trump releases his tax returns. Do you put any stock into that?
I saw it was a New York Times column. I think I don't buy it. I think that you can put any kind of preconditions you want on it. But Joe Biden, I think, wants to debate Donald Trump. I assume Donald Trump also wants to debate Joe Biden. So I don't see dissent in that. I also think I think the debate over debates ends up always coming down to who sees interest in it. Joe Biden thinks he likes the contrast. Donald Trump thinks he likes the contrast. So, you know, go to it. Let's see it happen in the fall.
You guys have a new poll out today about how the president has handled the coronavirus, and the numbers, again, not good for President Trump.
No, two-thirds of the country disapproving of his handling of coronavirus. A couple things that are interesting. One is his numbers have been almost unmovable throughout the crisis. And this is the first time we've seen a significant downward tick in approval for the president. The other thing is that we've seen real softening among independents and even some Republicans. And the president has, I think, really fallen short in terms of feeling among the public that that he has adequately come up to this challenge. And this has been the challenge of his presidency. And right now it looks like he's failing.
Am I grasping at straws here, Rick? We're on the phone with the Rick Klein, ABC News political director. Or I tend to be one of these people who think a lot of people lie to pollsters. I mean, Trump is not the most popular guy in the world, and a lot of people might be embarrassed to publicly acknowledge that they support him. I mean, people do lie to pollsters, and can these polls be a little skewered because of that?
Oh, sure, but I think we've asked this question consistently for 4 months. And we saw his numbers dip up early on in the crisis. It seemed like it was a rally around the flag, and then hold steady at around 40% approval, and now take this downward turn. So unless people are newly lying or lying for a new reason, I think there's something significant going on here. So, yes, polls have limitations. Yes, you can throw 2016 back at me as many times as you want around the state polling. Got it. Duly noted. But if you're looking at the numbers right now and not seeing a trend, I think you're trying not to see a trend.
You know, it was suburban women. Yeah, it was suburban women who helped put the president over the top in 2016. And we saw those same suburban women have been leaving President Trump in droves. This was even happening before the virus. Now you have the virus. Is there any way the president can bring them back into the fold?
One of the big questions that I want to answer in polling, and every campaign talks about this, like this, you reach a point of no return or diminishing returns where people seem to give up on a leader or on a candidate. And 4 months out, I don't know that we're there, but people have gotten to know President Trump pretty well over the 3.5 years of his presidency, over his 5+ years as a candidate. And the stubbornness of some of his numbers would suggest that there are a good number of voters who have given up on them. We've talked to voters like this. You've seen them quoted elsewhere as well, who say, I gave him a shot last time. I'm not making that mistake again. Now, can you disqualify Joe Biden? Can you convince people to stay home? Yeah, sure. There's lots of things here. But the prolonged sense of mismanagement or mishandling around COVID-19 takes a toll. And there's no doubt this has been a brutal stretch for the presidency of Donald Trump.
All right, speaking of Joe Biden, you've got your ear to the ground there in Washington. What do you hear about his vice presidential pick?
Well, I think Tammy Duckworth's stock went up in the last couple of days. You know, she had a pretty poor answer over the weekend about removing statues of George Washington, saying she opened to that debate. Tucker Carlson then lit into her on Fox News. And since then, her response has been really something to watch. You know, an op-ed that she had out just today. You know, her response on Twitter, hey, walk a mile in my shoes. Well, by the way, she lost both of her legs in a Black Hawk attack in Iraq in 2004. And that profile is a difficult one to lampoon, to parody. Think about the Trump campaign has been putting a lot of hope in the fact that they can take down this vice presidential candidate, because a lot of their campaign against Joe Biden is predicated on not that he's an extremist, but he's surrounding himself with extremists. Well, if you take someone like Tammy Duckworth, who has impeccable national security credentials, that becomes difficult. So that's just one name that's in the mix this week.
Yeah, but Rick, I'm not so sure being ambivalent about removing statues of George Washington is a winning stance, especially with swing voters in those key states.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, I think it was a bad answer. I think it was a bad answer. And I think she wishes she had it back. And it suggests that maybe she's not ready for prime time on everything. Kamala Harris wouldn't have answered it the same way. I think that's a fair bet. But yeah, I think the candidate will be tested. There's no question that answers like that will be dissected. But again, you look at us, if you're the Biden campaign, where do you do the least amount of harm? And I think in that sense, Harris is up there. Duckworth is up there. You know, Susan Rice's name has been out there a lot. I see a lot of downside in that, frankly, because of the Benghazi memories. But Joe Biden has a good personal relationship there. So, look, he thinks he's winning this campaign. I think he's not going to look to do anything that would take him off a stride.
All right, Rick Klein, ABC News political director. Very quickly, Rick, what's on Sunday? What's on your show Sunday?
Well, it's a lot of this is going to be about the poll and this moment in COVID-19. We'll have our roundtable, which is Rahm Emanuel, Chris Christie included. Christie is someone that continues to you know, as you guys know, defend the president. He's close to the president. This is a tough moment for his presidency. We'll see where it lands, because this seems like a low point for him.
Thanks, Rick. Take care. Rick Klein, ABC News political director. Up next, Noam and I have another song off. We pick our favorite cheesy songs of all time. That's next. Well, get out your umbrellas. Tropical Storm Faye is on the way. So we're going to check in with WOR Weather Channel meteorologist up there in the troposphere, Ray Stajic, with the latest on Faye. Hey, Ray, what do your little models and your little meters tell you about Faye?
Well, rain's on the way. I don't want to downplay this too much. We do have a tropical storm warning in place. That's for the potential for tropical storm force winds, 39-plus miles per hour. Flash flood watch in place. Latest advisory, intermediate advisory from the Hurricane Center still has a 50-mile-per-hour tropical storm moving north at 10 miles per hour. Center located 55 miles south-southeast of Ocean City, Maryland, or 90 miles off to the south of Cape May, New Jersey. But the moisture shield now starting to get into Monmouth County and spread north. So through this morning and this afternoon, the rain will spread in from south to north. Gusty winds 25 to 35 miles per hour sustained, especially midday into the afternoon. Heavy rain will come down. We'll get flooding. It could happen quickly. We'll get gusty winds in excess of maybe 40 to possibly 50 miles per hour briefly. I think things will start settling down as we head into early tonight. And another round of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow, not associated with Faye, as Faye moves up the Hudson Valley into northern New England. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms associated with the front coming in. So I think later this morning, guys, into the afternoon, heaviest of the rainfall comes in, possibly some flooding. It's not likely, and some gusty winds to boot. There may be some scattered power outages in some spots.
Hey, Ray, when's the next good beach day?
Next good beach day, I think Sunday, with sunshine back and temperatures in the 90s.
Excellent. All right. WOR Weather Channel meteorologist Ray Stajic. Thanks, Ray.
All right, guys.
Take care. All right. The moment you've been waiting for, our cheesy song competition. I hit on this idea because earlier on when we were talking about Tropical Storm Faye, I played Stormy Weather, and Bartlett was scoffing, you know, oh, my God, so obvious. And Natalie told me it was cheesy. So I thought everybody has a cheesy song that you secretly like. You know it's a bad song or it's a bad version of a song, but you... When you hear it, it brings a smile to your face, and you secretly like it, but you don't want to tell your friends you like this terribly cheesy song. So we picked, and Joe's in on this too, we picked our favorite guilty pleasure cheesy songs. All right, Noam, what's yours?
1982, Paul McCartney, Stevie Wonder, get together. They write they write a song about why can't we all That's get right. along, and it is my choice of the perfect cheesy song.
Ebony and ivory.
Thank you. I thought so.
I'm liking that one.
I have to admit, Noam, when that song first came out, I loved it. And I thought, oh, the message is so beautiful. the white keys and the black keys live together. Why can't we all live together like that?
Yeah.
If we had that song again right now, I think that would help go a long way to healing the racial tensions.
Oh, yes, I'm sure.
All right. Here's my song. Now, this is a great song. It's a classic song. Everybody loves this song. But I don't know. I stumbled on this version that's pretty... cheesy, so hit it, Noam. Oh, yeah. It's the disco version. Ah! Yep. See, I'm dancing. I'm moving.
Good
now.
Song,
I jog to this.
It's great
I
so
run
far.
To this one. That's right. That gets your blood flowing. And the guy who's doing it, one of the great singers of all time, he's coming up in a second. And. Yeah. Engelbert Humperdinck.
We've been sharing love before the night is through.
Who said way to talk it up?
That's a cheesy version of a good song.
Right.
Yeah, but you play that Engelbert Humperdinck version for a babe when you bring her over. Oh, you
She's
are
running
score.
Out the
she
door.
Can't help herself. But I love Engelbert. If you look at the video, we'll have Anthony put it up on our website of the video I send you. Engelbert's, you know, he's gotten a little heavy over the years, but he's still trying to be sexy Engelbert to this version. He goes, yeah, ooh, yeah. He's got these kooky backup singers. It's pretty cheesy,
you
but
know,
it is my guilty.
If you were going to pick a cheesy song of his, isn't he Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head?
Song.
Isn't that him? That's a cheesy song.
He's just cheesy.
No, that's not. No, I mean, any Engelbert Humper song is going to be cheesy. So I sing you to sleep after the loving.
Can we
Joe,
skip
you got
Joe
a cheesy song?
Song
for us?
Well, you know, I think I may have misinterpreted the parameters of this competition. I don't think mine is actually going to fit in the cheesy category, but this is one I really like. It's Brad Paisley, Ticks.
Funny, but it, I don't know if it's.
I'd like
it's,
to,
it's not cheesy.
Yeah, I'd like to check that for ticks. What is this, a PSA?
I mean, it sounds like every country western song I've ever heard before, but I don't
usually
know.
Right, it's about cars and booze, yeah. But this one's about ticks.
Save a horse, ride a cowboy, you know, that kind of song.
Right. Meet a truck
get
driver.
Drunk cause, get drunk because your girl left you. That's right. So. Yeah, all right, exactly. I'm gonna give a ruling here. As much as I love Engelbert, I have to give it to Gnome because
of course.
Ebony and Ivory.
And far and away.
I think it's right, but I also think it's a very important message for these troubled times.
Yes, it is.
All right, time for the news at 8:30 from Joe Barlick. Good morning, Joe.
What sincerity. Malls opening around New York today. If they have a system that can filter coronavirus out of the air. Rockland County Executive Ed Day says local workers have been hurt by malls being closed.
These are our neighbors, our neighbors' children. Those are the people getting hurt. It's not about the mall business or the big business people. Our people work here, and most of the people in these stores here in Rockland County reside within Rockland County.
All right, the malls in New York City are still closed. Forget about it. Don't even think about it. Mayor de Blasio also canceling all large events in the city through the end of September because of the outbreak. Says it's not safe for large crowds to gather together. But it is safe if you'd like to protest Black Lives Matters. Those protests will be exempt. Archdiocese of New York closing 20 Catholic schools and merging three others. Cardinal Timothy Dolan says mass unemployment has left families unable to pay tuition and hurting school enrollment. He also says the cancellation of masses has hurt the archdiocese's ability to support those schools. Speaking of money issues, taxes going up in New Jersey. Governor Murphy telling Bloomberg he has to find $20 billion to make up for lost revenue and added expenses.
Yeah, we will have to borrow money. This is not either or, it's and both. And we'll probably have to put some revenue raisers on the table as well as we develop our next budget.
Can't even say
revenue
the word taxes.
Raisers.
Can't say the word taxes. God.
Well, it's less painful if you call them revenue raisers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. More.
He also says he's going to need help from the federal government. He's going to have to go to that genius, President Trump. Now, he took his cognitive test and said he got a perfect score. Here are some questions from the test book. Let me do you, Riedel, all right?
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Okay.
Fire
here
away.
You go. All right. First, you have to remember these words. Face, velvet, church, daisy, and red. Remember those. All right. Next.
Okay.
Start at 100 and count.
Wait a minute.
You can't write them down. Start at 100 and count down by subtracting 7. Just do it 3 times.
I have to do that right now?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
When do you want to do it?
All right.
All right, 100 minus 7.
What?
Come on.
93. That's 93.
Yep.
Right? And then you go down to 86.
Yep.
And then you go down to 79.
Okay, good. That's enough. All right. Repeat these five numbers. Repeat these five numbers in order. 21854.
21854.
Okay. Repeat these numbers backward. 742.
47.
247.
You got it right.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, finally, what were the five words I asked you to remember?
No way.
Up next, it's open for you.
There was no red in there.
Yeah. Come on now.
Church.
Trump
church,
got a perfect score.
The president knew it.
Yeah.
We can't even do this with a group.
The man is a genius. Really There's no question about it.
He got a perfect score.
That's right. Okay, up next, it's Open Phones Friday, 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. Hey, do you have a cheesy, guilty pleasure song like Gnomes, Ebony, and Ivory in my disco version, Engelbert Humperdinck of Strangers in the Night? If you have one, tell Natalie when she picks up the phone, and we'll get it up for you and have some laughs. Also, what do you guys think about what the polls show that Trump is in trouble? How can he bounce back? And where do you stand on this Black Lives Matter mural that they painted on Fifth Avenue yesterday? Is it a protest? Is it appropriate? Or is it vandalism? Give us a call, whatever's on your mind. 1-800-321-0710. Open Phones Friday is coming up next. All right. Open Phones Friday, 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. Whatever is on your mind, we want to hear from you. You can give us your favorite cheesy song. Gnome and I just had our little cheesy song playoff. Now, the criterion here is that it has to be a terrible cheesy song, but you have to secretly like it. And I have to say, Gnome did win with, well, do you still have your song there, Gnome?
Yes, I do.
No, he doesn't.
Ebony and Ivory live together.
That's a winner.
Absolutely. Now, I'm not sure if you picked this up, Gnome, but you know that song, and you dismiss it as cheesy, but that song has a very important message that
yes, it
very
does,
yeah. apt for today.
It does.
Because it's about the black and the white keys on the piano and how they live side by side.
Getting along.
And so what
yeah.
they're saying in that song is that, you know, African Americans and white people, we should all be able to get along.
You know, so there's some really I never understood that until now, so thank you for pointing that out.
That's right. So, all right, tell us your cheesy song. 1-800-321-0710. Or you can weigh in on this Black Lives Matter business, you know, that mural that the mayor painted on Fifth Avenue. Do you guys think that's an appropriate way of protesting? Or, I kind of lean toward this side, is it a bit of a vandalism? 1-800-321-0710. Hey, let's go to Tom in Connecticut. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. I think it's vandalism. You know, I'm tired of having these things. I'm tired of having them think that their opinions should be everybody's opinions. It's public property. If they want to put it on a private building or something, if somebody gives them okay, that's fine. But it's public property. And if I was to go down and put White Lives Matter, boy, it would stir up a whole world of stuff.
Oh, no, you'd be denounced as a white supremacist? No, it'd be terrible. All right, thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. Hey, let's go to Frank in Staten Island. Good morning, Frank.
Hi, good morning, Michael. I remember earlier this week you were talking about being worried about how New York City might be becoming like the 70s and the 80s. One thing you could understand is that a person like Quentin Tarantino loves that stuff. He loved when New York was cheesy and terrible, and he put that like in his movie. And I remember when I was a kid on Broadway, walking down the street, I saw on Broadway signs for Old Calcutta.
Yeah, yeah,
and
the nudie show
like that. That stuff was such garbage, and it's like, you know, so yes, it is better today, of course, but yeah, it was weird back then. I remember going into a store and I saw posters of Rocky and Bruce Lee all the time. I just as a kid, I liked it a little bit, but you know, walking around 8th Avenue was terrible.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, you're right. Thanks, Frank. All right, we got some cheesy songs coming at us. Bob in Parsnipity. Good morning, Barb.
Hey, guys. I got the king of cheesy songs.
Okay, lay it on us, baby. Oh, Skyrockets in Flight.
Skyrockets in Flight. Afternoon Delight. Afternoon Delight.
It's cheesy, but it's a good one, Bob, don't you think? Bob, you still there?
Thank you.
It's a good. Yeah. Okay. Bob took his bow and he's out. Okay, Bob. Thanks. Leave him wanting more. That's the best way to approach showbiz. Thanks, Bob. Hey, I don't know if we've got Paula's up, but Paula has. Oh, Paula's got a classic. Paula in Westchester. Good morning, Paula.
Hi. Good morning.
How are you?
My favorite cheesy song is the Pina Colada song.
If you like Pina Coladas. If you're not into yoga, if you have
Paula. Paula, the hook of that song, you know, that last bit that moves me so much because, you know, he's kind of cheating on his wife there and he's looking for another lady. And this woman responds, yeah. And then he walks in the restaurant and he says, I saw your own lovely face. And the woman who responded was his wife. That's the twist is so moving.
It is.
I love it. I love that. That's
right. Thanks, Paula. Take care. All right. Let's go to Christopher in Manhattan. Good morning, Christopher.
Good morning. Just as I'm choking, I pick up the phone. Excuse me.
That's right. That's what Len does every morning.
I'm going to cough on the thing. Sorry. Never mind. I'm choking. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Heimlich. Heimlich maneuver time. Call us back, Christopher, to make sure that you're all right. Please, we want to know. How about Ben in New York? Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, guys. My name is Ben. I'm originally from North Africa. I went yesterday when I noticed they painted the floor on Fifth Avenue. So I went there just to cheat. And all the media, the fake media and all, they saw me. They noticed I'm not from New York. So they all came in and started asking me questions. And the first question was the lady, she was a black young girl. She asked me, what do you think of this? And I said, are you African-American or are you black? She said, no, I'm black. I said, that's good. That's very good. At least you answer in the right way. Because I am African-American. And this, what the Black Lives Matter, is important, but it shouldn't be here. This is just the mayor trying to make a point with his power, like a kid, to paint in front of the Trump. And he is, since I've been in America, New York City, my favorite place in the world, I've been here 36 years. He is the worst mayor ever.
Yep.
He has filthy city.
No question.
Vendors everywhere, construction everywhere, homelessness everywhere, the guys with the squishies back again, and he has the nerve to be busy to paint something in Fifth Avenue to make his point.
All right.
So my point to you, I just wanted to know, as African-American, I'm proud to say African-American, but we don't say you're Irish-American, you're American, we just say we are Americans. This is the best country in the world. People dream to come here. People are jealous of our country. And that's why people voted for Trump, because he was going to clean up the mess in the White House.
That's right. All right, Ben, good call. Thanks. Appreciate it. Hey, before we go, we got one more. Now, this is a good cheesy one. Paul, he emailed me this song. You ready? It's by Wham. You got it up there, Gnome?
Yeah.
Wake me up before you go, go. Don't leave me hanging on like a yo-yo.
Natalie's hair is getting big again. The old Staten Island hair is coming back. There she goes.
Wake me up before you go, go. Because I'm not planning on going solo.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. Hey, I also got from Steven here. We don't have the song here, he says, but anything by Barry Manilow. Start with Mandy and work your way through the Barry Manilow songbooks.
He's got a point there.
All right, thanks, guys. Hey, when we get back, we've got some entertainment news for you. Now, you're not going to believe what major, major motion picture star says he's broke because of the coronavirus. And sadly, they still have not found out what happened to the Glee star who fell off her boat the other day. Entertainment news up next. Well, you guys seem to love our little cheesy song segment. Gnome, I'm getting tons of emails from people with their cheesy songs. Now, I have to defend my buddy Barry Manilow because one guy said, anything by Barry Manilow, start with Mandy and work your way through the catalog. Every song is cheesy. So I've known Barry a long time, and I loved him as a kid growing up. And I've been to his concerts many times. So I took Joe Bartlett and his wife to Barry Manilow on Broadway.
You did?
At the same... I did.
Yeah, he did.
And you went willingly?
Well, I think it was a challenge more than an invitation.
No.
I can't imagine Joe Bartlett at a Barry Manilow show.
Well, I think it was more something his wife wanted to do. I think made it. Yeah. So anyway, I bring them along. And I got to tell you, and Joe, you got to be honest here. Joe, I thought you were a little skeptical. So we liquored you up a little bit at that bar and trolley place that I like to ease you into the Barry Manilow evening. Well, Barry comes out there and we have our green glow sticks, you know, at a Barry Manilow concert. Well, Noam, you know that because your wife was his publicist for there for a while.
Green glow stick, I remember those, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Barry comes out and he starts singing, I write the songs that make the whole world sing. And Joe's on his feet waving the green glow stick. Joe had a great time. Did you not, Joe?
They are good songs. I mean, they're cheesy, yes, but they're nice, yeah.
Can you also tell
Gnome? Kind of move.
Exactly. And can, yeah, you, can you also tell Noam the way I was treated when I entered the theater? Remember that,
oh,
joke?
Oh, God, yes. Mr. Riedel, can we get you a drink? Mr. Riedel, where would you like to sit? Mr. Riedel, anything I can do for you?
Noam's going to throw up.
I am.
That's right. Hey, entertainment news here. Now, Johnny Depp, he's in this weird, I don't know, battle with his ex-wife, Amber Heard, and he just... He allegedly texted a pal. This just came out in the trial that's going on today in London. And we had Larry Hackett, the ABC News Entertainment correspondent, on last yesterday. He really is on top of this thing. We'll have him on next week because this Johnny Depp thing is getting weird. So here's what Johnny Depp allegedly texted a pal. He texted a pal that his ex-wife, Amber Heard, was a gold digger and a 50% stripper who had oral sex with someone he called Mollusk. Now, who do you think Mollusk might be, Noam?
I don't know. You have thoughts on that?
Well, could it be that Tesla guy?
Oh, possibly.
What's his name?
Elon Musk.
Mollusk? Could be close.
That's a stretch.
Well, don't sue me, Elon. Anyway, so some weird stuff coming out there about on this trial. We'll follow this thing. It could be interesting. Poor Johnny Depp. Oh, my God, I'm looking at a picture of him. That guy is just... He's totally lost it. He was a good-looking guy when he came on, when he had like those Scissorhands thing, that Edward Scissorhands.
It was a great movie, yeah.
Yeah, very good movie. Tim Burton movie, I think. But you look at him now, and I mean, he's just like, okay, your next stop is the trailer park. Good luck. So, Noam, tell me about the Glee star. Have we found her yet?
Naya Rivera, no. You know, this is a terrible story. So her and her son, yeah, 4-year-old son, they rent a pontoon in Los Angeles. They go out for what they think is just, going out for a ride on the water. There's a 16-minute video they have of them getting out of their Jeep in the parking lot, renting that pontoon, going out into the water, and you can actually see them until they sort of disappear. And when rescuers found this boat, they found just this 4-year-old in the boat, and he told police that his mom had jumped in the water and wasn't able to get back in. So now they're not even calling it a rescue mission anymore because they know that she's likely dead. Now they're just searching for a body. Not clear, when they get the body, maybe they'll have more of a sense of how she died.
I mean, I'm sure it's must have been an accident, You never know when you jump into the water. I mean, I'm a swimmer. I swim every day. Well, I did before the coronavirus interrupted my routine here. But even in lakes, you get weird currents and things like that. You get caught up in something, and you just don't know how to get out of it. I got caught up in a riptide once out on Long Beach years ago. And I remember thinking, the only thing you can do to save yourself is don't panic. If you panic and you try to swim against it, you're going to run out of energy and you're going to drown. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to pretend that I'm floating out here in the sea, and I know sooner or later the tide goes out there, and then it does come around and brings you back. So I just floated out there, and without panicking, I somehow managed to survive. And here I am, and that's been good for all of you, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It's been good for all of us. What? What?
Hey, very quickly, Robert De Niro says he is running out of, De Niro. He says the coronavirus has dealt a massive blow to his finances. He revealed in court he's fighting his estranged wife, Gail Hightower, Grace Hightower, I should say. She wants to raise her monthly American Express credit card limit from $500,000 from $50,000 to $100,000, and he says he can't afford it because the coronavirus has wreaked havoc with his finances. So, I don't know. I mean, the guy's still worth what, $400 million?
At least.
I know. Could you imagine having a monthly American Express credit card limit of $50,000?
Yeah, what are you spending it on?
I don't know. It's totally crazy. These people are too rich for their own good. All right, up next. The great Melissa Errico, wonderful Broadway star. She has a new album out. She's great fun. She's also a New York City hero. We always love having our friend Melissa Errico on. That's coming up next, but now the news at 9 o'clock.